Would everyone please press your buttons?
Good morning. We're going to get started. Okay, good morning. May we have the roll call?
Okay. Bergen?
Here.
Hudson?
Here.
Hunterdon?
Here.
Middlesex?
Here.
Monmouth?
Here.
Morris?
Here.
Passaic?
Here.
Sussex? Union? Liza?
Liza's there.
Thank you. Okay. Warren?
Here.
Governor's Office?
Present.
NJDOT?
Here.
NJ Transit?
Here.
Citizens Representative?
Here on the phone.
Would that be Jared?
Yep.
Thank you. Essex? Jersey City?
Here, Barbara Patel.
Newark? Ocean?
Here.
Somerset?
Here.
Warren?
No, here.
NJ, oh, we have NJ Transit. Port Authority?
Here.
Okay, we have a quorum for both committees.
Terrific, thank you. I will salute the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good morning. I'm Kathy DiFilippo, the chair of the NJTBA board, and today I'm still wearing my hat as the chair of the Project Prioritization Committee. Next month, we'll be switching over, and we'll talk a little bit about that at the end of the meeting. I understand that Freeholder John Bartlett will not be attending this morning, so I'll be running the meeting. If I could get an approval of the minutes.
Motion approved.
Who was that?
Warren.
Jed Warren. And a second?
Second.
Hunted in?
Okay. Thank you. All in favor of the minutes?
Aye.
Thank you. And we're going to start with the Regional Transportation Advisory Committee, RTAC report. Is Mark?
Yes, I am. Thank you. Good morning. Pleased to report on NJTPA's February 10th meeting of the Regional Transportation Advisory. RTAC heard the information from the Rails to Trails Conservancy about key roles of trails in our transportation network, as well as the importance of connectivity and preserving right-of-ways. Additionally, we heard from New Jersey Transit on a transit-friendly land use development survey. There's additional information on that on the back table that's available to you. There was a number of information items covering the congestion mitigation and air quality solicitation that's upcoming this spring. Kickoff of the accessibility and mobility strategy synthesis, the NJTPA's travel modeling web series. There was just an email that came out on that. And the draft 2021 UPWP, which we'll be considering for approval today. Other information items included an update to Together North Jersey and NJTPA's pilot young adults advisory committee called Up Next North Jersey. Our TAC was also brief on several action items, all of which are on your agenda today. These include the fiscal year 2021 Freight Concept Development Program studies, 4 minor TIP amendments, plus 1 modification requested by New Jersey DOT. There was also a series of financial plans updates for 3 other projects. Our next RTAC teleconference is tentatively set for March 16th. Our next RTAC meeting is scheduled for April 13th. Thank you, and that concludes my report.
Thank you. For the action items, we'll start with the Project Prioritization Committee. We have Jacob Ranowski, who's going to talk to us about the Freight Concept Development Plan. Good morning, Jacob.
Good morning. Thank you. So as you may know, the Freight Concept Development Program was established in order to advance regional and local freight initiatives that have been identified through planning studies conducted by the NJTPA, our planning partners, and our subregion. About a year ago or so, a project intake process that also included some scoring criteria for selecting projects in the Freight Concept Development Program was developed in close coordination with the RTAC and approved by the Freight Initiatives Committee at the December 2018 meeting. So just in way of background, kind of a brief background on how we implemented this process to identify the 2 projects that you'll be considering today. So it's a 5-step process that we went through to identify these 2 projects. And in the first step, we reviewed close to 30 different planning documents completed over the last 10 plus years and came up with a master list of over 1,000 possible freight projects. In step 2, we screened those projects so that only ones that require a concept development study and do not have another way of advancing remain. And that left us with a list of 37. We then applied the approved scoring criteria for the 37 projects, and in step 4, distributed that list up to the NJTPA subregion. Received feedback requests from 3 of the subregions, and based on the process and that feedback from the subregions, we've selected 2 projects, and they are, the first one is the Berkshire Valley Road Truck Circulation Project, that's in Roxbury in Morris County, and the second project is the Port Reading Secondary South Main Street Great Crossing Elimination Project in Bomb Proof in Somerset County. And pending board approval, it's anticipated that work on both projects will start in early fiscal 2020.
Thank you. Any questions for Jacob? Thank you. So we don't have any going on that one. The second is the... Oh, we do. Okay, so may I have a motion to accept this to go forward for our board meeting?
So moved.
Warren.
And a second?
Second, Sussex.
Thank you. You have to do a name vote. Okay, go ahead.
Bergen?
Yes.
Hudson?
Yes.
Hunterdon?
Yes.
Middlesex?
Yes.
Monmouth?
Yes.
Morris?
Yes.
Sussex?
Yes.
Union?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Governor's Office?
Yes.
NJDOT?
Yes.
NJ Transit?
Yes.
Citizens Representative?
Yes.
Motion is carried.
Thank you. Our second action item is 4 minor amendments to the fiscal year 2020 to 2023 Transportation Improvement Program as requested by the New Jersey Department of Transportation, and E. Chamberlain will discuss that.
Good morning. The 4 requests from NJDOT for minor amendments, we'll present them as one package, which just requires one vote on your part, and with your approval, then these will move forward to the board for their endorsement. First is the Route 72 Manahawk and Bay Bridges Contracts 1A and 1B in Ocean County. They have an increased need of $24.29 million. Second is the Route 206 Doctors Way to Valley Road in Somerset County. They have an increased need of $16.75 million. Third is Route 171, Route 130 to Lincoln Avenue in Middlesex County. That project has been fully funded with state funds, and the federal funds that were programmed for construction can be removed. Fourth and final is Route 23, Route 80, Route 46 interchange in Passaic County and Essex County. Work will continue on this project for design right-of-way and utilities, but the construction phase of work will be moved out of the first 4 years of the TIP. Are there any questions?
No questions? Thank you, Mimi. Do I have a motion to move item two?
So moved.
And a second?
Second.
Thank you.
Okay. Bergen?
Yes.
Hudson?
Yes.
Hunterdon?
Yes.
Middlesex?
Yes.
Monmouth?
Yes.
Morris?
Yes.
Sussex?
Yes.
Union?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Governor's Office?
Yes.
NJDOT?
Yes.
NJ Transit?
Yes.
Citizens Representative? Jared?
Yes.
Motion is carried.
Thank you. The item three is a modification also to the fiscal year 2020-23, the TIP to add federal funds to the Route 206 Valley Road to Brown Avenue project as requested by DOT. And Eve will describe that again.
This action only requires your vote in order to move forward. This is for the Route 206 Valley Road to Brown Avenue in Somerset County. The request is for adding funds, federal funds, to right-of-way in federal fiscal year 2020, as well as utilities in federal fiscal year 2021. While construction costs have increased on this project, that phase of work will now begin in federal fiscal year 2022.
Thank you, Eve. Again, may I have a motion for item three?
Motion.
Second.
And second?
Second.
Middlesex. Okay. Bergen?
Yes.
Hudson?
Yes.
Hunterdon?
Yes.
Middlesex?
Yes.
Monmouth?
Yes.
Morris?
Yes.
Sussex?
Yes.
Union?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Governor's Office?
Yes.
NJDOT?
Yes.
NJ Transit? Megan, you still with us?
Yes. Sorry.
And Citizens Representative?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Item number four is the 2019 financial plan update for the Route 3, Route 46 Valley Road and Notch Rifle Camp Road interchange project, and Ann is going to discuss that. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. I'm basically talking about items 3, 4, and 5, which are closely intertwined, and as you notice, Steve has presented some amendments and modifications. Several of which apply to these financial plans because they work in tandem. Under federal law, recipients of federal assistance for projects with a total cost of $100 million to $500 million are required to prepare a financial plan that includes cost estimates, financing, cash flow, risks, phasing plan, public-private partnership, and annual update cycle. I've been presenting these financial plans that are in front of you since 2012. So you've heard me every year, and this is basically an accounting, a report card of where the projects are. All the projects are in the current projects. They're all in the long range plan. And let me give you details on each. The first one is the Route 3, Route 46 Valley Road and Notch Rifle Camp Road. That's in Passaic County. It has two contracts. The first contract is nearly complete. The second contract is about to start, and the project is moving forward. It's a $309 million project. Since last year, it's gone up $48 million, and that's due to a construction change orders in contract A and a design change in contract B, which includes a full bridge replacement. The project has expended about 40% of its funds and is moving forward. Does anyone have any questions?
Thank you, Ann. May I have a motion for item 4?
Move Sussex.
Second, Warren.
Thank you.
Bergen?
Yes.
Hudson?
Yes.
Hunterdon?
Yes.
Middlesex?
Yes.
Monmouth?
Yes.
Morris?
Yes.
Sussex?
Yes.
Union?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Governor's Office?
Yes.
NJDOT?
Yes.
NJ Transit?
Yes.
Citizens Representative?
Yes.
Motion is carried.
Thank you. And item 5 is the 2019 financial plan update for the Route 72 Manahawkin Bay Bridge project. And Ann will discuss that.
Okay, this is a $340 million project. Since the last update, the costs have increased by about $21 million, and that's due to utility relocations and the updated cost estimates. The project is on track and has expended about 75% of its funds. Does anyone have any questions?
Thank you, Ann. So in action item 5, do we have someone who would like to make a motion?
Move Sussex.
Second.
Thank you.
Okay, Bergen?
Yes.
Hudson?
Yes.
Hunterdon?
Yes.
Middlesex?
Yes.
Monmouth?
Yes.
Morris?
Yes.
Sussex?
Yes.
Union?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Governor's Office?
Yes.
NJDOT?
Yes.
NJ Transit?
Yes.
Citizens Representative?
Yes.
Motion is carried.
Thank you. And our last action item for project prioritization is the 2019 financial plan update for the Route 206 project in Somerset County. And thank you again, Ann.
Okay, this has a series of three sub-projects that are currently programmed in the TIF. The bypass is nearly complete. The Doctor's Way project design is expected to be complete in April of this year, and the Valley Road will have design completion in April of 2022. These two remaining contracts should be completed through construction in fiscal year 2024. This is a somewhat larger project. It's $452 million. The increase of $13 million since I was here last year is mainly due to utility relocation, again, updated cost estimates. The projects are in design, so you would expect that you see these cost estimates in front of you. Project recently completed a 4F evaluation in 2019. Everything is on schedule. Any questions?
I do have a question. A lot of these increases are due to utility relocation, at least from what I've heard. Are we not estimating utility relocation high enough in the initial project estimates?
I'll try to step in and offer an explanation for part of that. If you're not acquainted with it, in New Jersey, we're beholden to the utility companies that provide that service to develop the plan for
yes.
utility location and then do the actual relocation.
Full disclosure, I work for First Energy.
Okay.
So I didn't know a lot about utility relocation. That's
so that tends to happen very late in the process. We're beholden to those companies scheduling those
right.
activities.
Are we early enough in the process to get those requests?
Well, I think the general department's view is no.
Okay. Yeah, I just think maybe we need to be a little bit more upfront on these requests then, so we get a better project estimate upfront.
Right.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Any additional questions? Thank you. May I have a motion for action item 6?
So moved, Warren.
And a second?
Second, Hunterdon.
Thank you.
Okay. Bergen?
Yes.
Hudson?
Yes.
Hunterdon?
Yes.
Middlesex?
Yes.
Monmouth?
Yes.
Morris?
Yes.
Sussex?
Yes.
Union?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Governor's Office?
Yes.
NJDOT?
Yes.
NJ Transit?
Yes.
Citizens Representative?
Yes.
Motion is carried.
Thank you. That's it on project prioritization. We'll move to the Planning and Economic Development Committee. And we have action item approval of the fiscal year 21, the UPW program. And Angel Young is going to talk with us. Good morning.
Good morning, everyone. Central staff is recommending that the committee present the FY 2021 UPWP to the Board of Trustees for adoption at its next meeting. As you may recall, a draft copy of the proposed FY 21 UPWP was distributed in December for review and input. Comments to the December draft were received from FHWA, NJDOT, and representatives of the board. A list of the comments we received, including our responses and any revisions to the December draft, are included in your handout today. And along with the updated draft FY21 UPWP budget summary and list of proposed consultant efforts, there has been no change to the overall proposed budget. In general, the comments were supportive and provided suggestions to further streamline the UPWP and to more clearly define the task activities and deliverables to be completed within the work program. The following areas in particular were highlighted: collaboration of task activities, data development and regional resources, performance-based planning, air quality and conformity analysis, maintenance and development of modeling applications, GIS data and planning tools, assisting NJDOT with data collection for MIRE, which is the state's model inventory of roadway element management system, including connected and autonomous vehicles, completion of trail networks, and Title VI compliance in the planning process. Regional planning studies, capital programming, and local safety programs with an emphasis on multimodal initiatives, congestion mitigation, economic development, placemaking opportunities, resiliency, and the state strategic highway safety plan. NJDOT also commended the subregions who will be conducting elective activities that are related to resiliency, trail networks, and greenway initiatives, complete streets, electric vehicles, and safety. They also commended Passaic County for emphasizing interagency coordination with the ON3 redevelopment of the former Hoffman LaRoche site in Clifton and Nutley, as the department is not yet fully aware of the impacts of this development and commends them for incorporating ITS improvements into their work program. An updated draft of the FY21 UPWP has been posted to the NJTPA's website. Revisions made to the December draft do include the following: slightly modifying the budget revenue assumptions to correctly reflect the balance of PL funding available from prior work programs under Task 201, performance measures and data's contractual effort, which is the phase two of the Trans-Hudson bus survey, has been moved to Task 202, modeling and forecasting. A new subtask activity was added to Task 206 for GIS data resources and planning tools, which is to assist NJDOT with the data collection for MIRE. A table has been added to Appendix A of Chapter 1 with a list of the recommendations resulting from the 2018 federal certification review, in addition to indicating the recommendations that were already addressed in FY20, the table includes references to the UPWP task activities that will be addressing the remaining recommendations. Additionally, Chapter 4 of the Regional Transportation Planning Initiatives has also been completed and posted. This chapter describes transportation planning studies conducted by other agencies and is provided for informational purposes only. At this time, do you have any questions?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Can I have a motion to move item 7?
Offer the motion.
Second, Warren.
Okay. Jersey City?
Yes.
Morris?
Yes.
Ocean?
Yes.
Somerset?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Governor's Office?
Yes.
NJDOT?
Yes.
NJ Transit?
Yes.
Port Authority?
Yes.
Citizens Representative?
Yes.
Motion is carried.
Thank you.
Okay, motion is definitely carried.
Thank you. We have three informational items today. We're going to start with Plan 2050 overview. And Lois Goldman.
Thank you.
Hi.
Everybody can hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm going to tell you a little bit about long-range transportation plans, and then I'm going to tell you some of the activities that we're doing to start developing the new plan. So most of you probably know this, but metropolitan planning organizations like the NJTPA are required to update our long-range plans every 4 years as a condition for the receipt of federal transportation funding. The NJTPA Board of Trustees approved Plan 2045, the current plan, in November 2017. The long-range plan is based on analysis of a broad array of transportation, economic, demographic, and other data, as well as extensive public outreach and stakeholder collaboration. The plan outlines needs, strategies, and resources related to all modes, including non-motorized travel and goods movement, as well as opportunities to address climate change and the environment, equity, shifting land use and demographic patterns, and emerging technologies. The plan has to have a minimum of a 20-year planning horizon. Work has begun to update Plan 2045. It will have a horizon year of 2050, and right now we're referring to it as Plan 2050. It will be presented to the trustees for adoption in the fall of 2021. I'd like to just tell you a few things that we're doing to develop the plan. Over the past several months, we've had presentations at board and committee meetings on topics such as climate change, electric vehicles, demographics, and the economy. These are part of plan development to frame some of the important issues. We've also started our stakeholder engagement. Recently, we met with DOT to talk to them about their statewide long-range plan to coordinate our efforts and see how we can all work together. Thank you for that. We've also had stakeholder engagement with the Freight Committee and the Goods Movement Community. On January 28th, we held a discussion with private sector supply chain companies. This afternoon at the Freight Committee, Ann Strauss-Sweeter will be summarizing that discussion and continuing the discussion with public sector partners. We are also in the process of contracting with a consultant to do outreach, public outreach, in all 15 subregions. This will be supplemented by Rutgers, who will be working in doing specialized outreach with people not usually engaged with the NJTPA, such as people with limited English proficiency. We will also be contracting with a financial consultant for the federally required financial plan for the plan of transportation. And then finally, new for this plan, we're planning to release background papers ahead of plan adoptions, with the first papers to come out later this year. Papers will outline current and future conditions and needs on topics such as freight, active transportation, resiliency, local asset management, and technology. Are there, thank you for letting me brief you, and are there any questions? Thank you.
Thank you. Our second is the Train Hudson update by Dave Barron, and he's also going to do the federal policy update as well. So we'll start with Trans Hudson.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, these are sort of intertwined, so I'll maybe give the full report, and maybe we can have questions at hand. So there have been some major developments in Trans Hudson transportation and federal policy since the last round of committee and board meetings. And as is often the case, key Trans Hudson issues are issues of federal policy. So as you likely heard last week, the White House released its budget proposal for federal fiscal year 2021. And each year, the release of that budget, the budget proposal, coincides with updated ratings from the Federal Transit Administration for projects seeking funding through their Capital Investments Grant Program. As you may recall, in recent years, the Portal North Bridge and the Hudson Tunnel projects have not fared particularly well in these ratings. The good news, which I'm sure you've heard, is that the rating for the $1.7 billion Portal Bridge project has been increased to medium high, which makes it eligible for additional federal funding going forward through the grant program. So that's definitely good news. And the improved rating, according to FTA, is largely due to the significant funding commitment the state of New Jersey has demonstrated. And under the current proposed financial plan for this project, the state would cover more than 45% of the project cost, which is definitely a very significant match for a federally funded project. So the revised rating is an important step. According to the latest documents about the project that FTA has posted, New Jersey Transit anticipates entry into engineering this year, this calendar year, with receipt of a full funding grant agreement by the end of the year, and completion of the project in 2026. That's the current timeline that's being given for the Portal North project. Not so good news from that process is that the Hudson Tunnel project still has a medium low rating. It's seen as an important project with a lot of justification in terms of the needs it will serve. There continue to be some back and forth between the federal government and New York and New Jersey about the financial commitment and the funding situation with that project. So Gateway Development Commission, the project partners are all going to be working to improve that situation, keep you posted as there are further developments. To turn to sort of the bigger picture of federal transportation policy right now beyond a particular project, the White House budget proposal included a very wide-ranging infrastructure proposal, $810 billion over 10 years for surface transportation specifically, and an additional $190 billion for infrastructure across various sectors, including some additional transportation funding, which makes for an even $1 trillion over 10 years. However, in the short term, for fiscal year 2021, it actually calls for a 13% cut in federal discretionary transportation spending, which includes significant reductions to Amtrak and significant reductions to airport infrastructure. So while the long term, it proposes very robust investment, in the immediate short term of the next fiscal year, it actually reduces that. So there are some, that has raised some questions in many quarters. And there are other proposals in there that might be of concern, such as eliminating the set aside for the Transportation Alternatives Program. Always important to keep in mind, it's just a budget proposal. It usually is a starting point for the administration, and often what ends up being approved out of Congress and agreed to by the administration is very different. So, but these are sort of gives you a window into the thinking that's going on. At the same time, in Congress, the House Transportation and Infrastructure Committee is drafting a reauthorization proposal of its own, expected to be released in 2 to 3 months. It's part of something called the Moving Forward Framework, which is also being developed in consultation with the Energy and Commerce Committee, and it's looking at a variety of types of infrastructure, and it's a five-year proposal, $760 billion. On the surface transportation side, it emphasizes a lot of these things that might sound familiar, like a fix-it-first approach, ongoing performance-based planning and investment that promotes transit investment, active transportation, resilience, improving air quality, combating climate change, improving safety. It specifically mentions and promotes complete streets and Vision Zero. So that's sort of where the two sides are on that. And despite what differences there may be from a policy front, one thing they both proposals have in common is that they lack specificity on how this all will be paid for. And both sides are calling for a responsible bipartisan conversation on those pay fors, and we'll see how that goes. And at any rate, most folks who observe this stuff don't think that there's going to be an actual reauthorization this year. The FAST Act expires at the end of September. They don't think there'll be a reauthorization before the November elections. But one thing that's important to remember as you're looking at this, if you're talking to your representatives or to groups that you're involved with that speak to your representatives, it might not be passed this year, but it's basically being written this year. So it's an important time to engage in those conversations. And finally, I would just mention there are also a lot of other transportation related bills circulating around Congress from late last year, since they've returned after the holidays. They're looking at all sorts of things about automated vehicles and transit-oriented development, bike-ped infrastructure, and you know, many of these bills may not end up really going anywhere, but it's a very big, hot topic of conversation in Congress right now. Important to keep in mind, New Jersey has three members of the House Transportation Infrastructure Committee, so it's obvious, and it's obviously all these things are particularly important for our region. So, you know, if any of those other bills gain traction, you'll probably hear more about them in future meetings. But that's kind of the big picture, and you know, we'll keep you posted. So, if anybody has any questions, I'd be happy to take them now.
When you say Congress, you're talking about the House of Representatives only, or both the House and the Senate?
Yeah, actually, the Senate, on the Senate side, last year, the Environment and Public Works Committee, which governs the sort of highway side of transportation infrastructure, passed a bill. Basically, about current levels of funding, a little bit more. It contained some things about climate change that weren't necessarily expected to be in there. It passed unanimously out of the committee, but my understanding is that it's not going anywhere in the full Senate. The Senate's a little different than the House in that different committee, like the transit component comes out of a different committee. And so they kind of all have to cobble that together, and then they negotiate with the House. So the Senate, actually, the people who work on the House Transportation Infrastructure think that the Senate bill was really pretty good, and if they could get something like that out of the House, they'd be pretty pleased. It set a fairly high bar, and it truly was bipartisan. So the Senate's a little bit ahead of the game, but nothing's going to happen until the House comes out with its proposal. My understanding is that the House Ways and Means Committee is looking at various measures of how this could be paid for, but I mean, obviously, there's a big gap between what's needed and what's available in the Highway Trust Fund. So it's a very thorny issue of funding and taxation and everything.
Thank you, Dave.
Yeah. Anybody else?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And then we have a number of written information items. We'll start with the CMAQ solicitation for spring 2020. And we have Liz. Oh, no, I'm sorry. She provided all that. Right, okay. So on any of these written information items, if you have any questions for anyone, no? Okay. I did have a question on the kickoff of accessibility and mobility strategy. Is there a kickoff date on that, or is this, have any set?
It's already happened.
What's it?
It already happened on the 31st.
It was the 31st. Okay, thank you. Okay. Any other items to be discussed? Our next meeting will be April 20th, and at that meeting, we will be, at our next board meeting, we will be confirming some changes for Planning and Economic Development Committee. We will have as chair John Kelly, freeholder from Orange County.
Motion.
Ocean County, I'm sorry, Ocean County.
We're on the good part of the state.
And our vice chair will be Sarah Suey. Sarah Suey, Freehold from Somerset County. I don't think I need to go through all the trustee members, right? And then Project Prioritization Committee, John Bartlett from Passaic County will be the chair, and Jason Sarnowski, Freehold from Warren County, will be the vice chair. And for the Freight Initiatives Committee, Charles Kenny will be from Middlesex County will be the chair, and Joshua Hertzberg, Freehold from Sussex County, will be the vice chair. So I welcome our new committee chair and vice chairs to start the rest, to start at our next workshop meeting, and, or committee meeting, we call it here. And just remind everybody that these meetings are starting at 10:30 now, and so are our board meetings on the alternate fund, so we'll also be starting at 10:30. So I hope that that helps with traffic and work balance to be here for 10:30. They have a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
Okay, good. One o'clock.
Yeah,
you're not going. Oh, are you staying around?
1 o'clock
today?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Artep, yeah. So apparently I didn't realize that I wasn't on the...
How are you doing?
Yeah.
No one realized. I didn't realize that the change was not yet official, and I changed my lineup.
Uh-huh.
So that's why I didn't
Whatever. Okay,
you.
Yeah.
But next time, that's how.
Next time, yes.
You can make appointments. It's going to show up at the board meeting in March. And then
right, sure.